Father, when did you first feel the calling to become a priest?
Well, I'd say the first time I thought of it was when I was about 10 years old. I can remember one day we were driving to Mass, and my mother asked me, you know, if I ever thought I might be a priest one day. And this was pretty soon after I had started serving Mass at our parish. And I think at the time I didn't even realize that it was possible for a kid like me to become a priest. You know, it just never crossed my mind. But from that point, it was pretty constantly lodged in my mind, I would say. And, you know, I was never one of those kids that practiced or played Mass or anything like that. But, but you know, our parents had brought us up to believe that the worship of God was the most important thing in life. And, you know, I thought that if God is calling me to be a priest, well, of course, I will say yes. You know, with His grace, I didn't realize, you know, it's a long journey and it has its challenges and everything, but God's grace is there. And I would say from about the time I was 10, that was when I first, you know, as I say, felt the call. And it was pretty more or less constant in my mind.
And was it automatic that you were going to go into the FSSP? Or?
No, it was not automatic. when I first thought of becoming a priest, I had no idea that the FSSP existed. I didn't know about the Latin Mass, you know, which is the fraternity's, our traditional charism, you know, with the use of the 1962 books, commonly known as the extraordinary form of the Roman Rite. I had no idea that existed. But when I was 15, my family moved from Connecticut down to outside of Atlanta, Georgia, and we started going to the fraternity's apostolate there in Mableton, St. Francis de Sales. And it was really at that point that I mean, it took me about 6 months, I would say, to really start to get some idea of what was happening in the liturgy. You know, I would take my little hand missal to Mass, and I would try and follow all the prayers in the English translation as best I could, and I was really impressed by those. You know, I think a lot of people are, and rightly so, with the Latin Mass, you know, when they first experience it, especially really impressed with the reverence and the sense of awe and majesty. And of course, you know, I was as well. But I think for me, the main thing, the thing that hit me the most was just the deep Catholicity of the prayers of the liturgy. You know, like I said, I was reading through the prayers each Sunday, and I really realized that they really embodied and taught the Catholic faith. And it was from that point on that I started to develop more of an understanding and appreciation for the awesome reality of the Mass and the priesthood. You know, that the Mass is the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ represented by the priest, and that the priest is placing himself, you know, he's acting in persona Christi, as the Latin phrase has it, in the person of Christ. He says, this is my body, you know, in Latin. And so the priest really becomes an alter Christus, another Christ. And it's an awesome thought. It's a terrifying thought. But it's one that really started to hit home after I started going to the Latin Mass. And then from that point on, when I, you know, as I got toward the end of high school and into college, as I became more and more familiar with the Latin Rite and with the fraternity of St. Peter, it made the decision more and more simple, I guess, easy to choose the fraternity when I realized eventually that I would go to seminary.
Right. And how did the seminary prepare you for that, the sacred priesthood?
Well, the you know, Our Lady of Guadalupe Seminary, which is our seminary in Denton, Nebraska, it's a special place. I can remember one time my dad telling me that he had met a diocesan priest. And they were talking, and he mentioned that his son was in seminary, and he told this priest where I went to seminary at Our Lady of Guadalupe in Denton, Nebraska, and the priest said, well, he's at the best seminary in the country, you know. And, of course, I would agree. I'm not biased or anything. but, no, it's a tremendous formation we have there. It's 7 years of, you know, rigorous academics and philosophy and theology. And that goes along with, you know, the primary formation, of course, is spiritual, developing a prayer life, you know, a private prayer, but also liturgical prayer. You know, we have daily Mass. We have sung Mass at least 2 or 3 times a week. We have solemn Mass every Sunday. We pray 4 hours of the Divine Office in common. So it actually really has a a real monastic feel to it, the seminary does. Liturgical life is really solid. And so in all those ways, you know, the seminary kind of prepares the seminarians for the priesthood. It takes a long time. You know, we also have time for plenty of sports and a little fun on the side, but no, the academic and the spiritual formation is fantastic at Our Lady of Guadalupe.
And how did the donor support help with that?
Well, you know, I think it makes it possible. Without, you know, I think the cost per seminary and per year is about $30,000 to go through the seminary, and obviously most candidates in their early 20s or even right out of high school just, you know, could never afford that. Maybe there are a few who can, but by and large, I would say that seminarians rely heavily upon the generosity of benefactors. And I think we all realize that, especially this year, like pretty much everywhere else due to the COVID-19 crisis, we disbanded for the second half of the semester. And so the seminarians were all sent home, or almost all of them. And I think if you asked, you know, all 75 seminarians or however many there are, you know, what the difference in formation was like, you know, they would say it's night and day between trying to piece together a formation long distance, as it were, from your own home, taking classes over, you know, Zoom or Skype or whatnot, and trying to maintain the prayer life. Between that and the regular life of formation we have in the seminary, it's just not a night and day difference. There's no comparison. And so without the, you know, like I said, without the generosity of our benefactors, that's what we'd be doing. You know, we'd probably go back to the pre-Tridentine model of where you had kind of like apprentice priests, where, you know, a man who's discerning the priesthood would go to his local parish and live in the rectory, say the pastor would teach him what he knows, and you know, then he'd kind of go out and hopefully, you know, obviously be ordained. But I think the model we have since the Council of Trent with the seminary is vastly superior, and it would not be possible without benefactors and their generosity.
So. Right. So where you served during the COVID thing, you served other places, and obviously, you have a new assignment coming up now as a priest. So
I do. Yeah, so over the years of seminary, we have our assignments in the summer, our summer apostolate assignments. You know, they could be working at a parish. They could be going on one of our mission trips, you know, most years, except obviously for this year, we have missions in Mexico, in the Dominican Republic, in Peru. And so I've been on a couple of those. We also run boys' camps each summer. And so, you know, I've helped out with those. I also did our, we have a Spanish immersion program in Guadalajara, Mexico, where, you know, because many of our parishes are in areas where there's a large portion of the congregation is perhaps, you know, Spanish-speaking or could use a priest that knows some Spanish. And so we've begun this program down at our parish in Guadalajara, where a handful of seminarians will go each summer and spend 9 or 10 weeks down there learning Spanish. It's a great program. I did that after my fourth year. Then most recently, I was assigned as a deacon at our apostolate in Omaha, the Immaculate Conception Parish. And, you know, the deacons will go every other weekend. We'll travel from the seminary, and we'll help out, you know, with obviously the Sunday liturgies, with preaching, with teaching catechism, helping with the youth group. So all these various activities, we do that every other week as a deacon. And now, yeah, I've just received my first assignment as a priest to go out to Sacramento, our parish there in California, and I'm very excited about that. I'll be starting up there at the beginning of July, on July 1st.
Wow, coming up. All right.